And now welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. John Harbison is back in town, and welcome back to the Midday.
Thank you, Norman.
That means it must be doings at Token Creek in the works.
Yes, we're about to recommence, actually very soon, with three programs.
And you're celebrating this year. I can't resist using this metaphor that you yourself used, John, about C.P.E. Bach and relationship to J.S. Bach and Haydn, that the anchors are heavier than the boat that that you're launching.
Yeah, I guess that is sort of our conclusion. It's fascinating to work on the music, and it feels obviously a lot of space in music history, a very important space, but it wouldn't have been easy to be the son of J.S. Bach, particularly to be such a good musician as C.P.E. was. His music is fascinating. It is a fascination which I would have to say is perhaps at its headiest at first acquaintance, as with certain people that you meet.
Really?
And so that's good for us as performers. Not as good for us as performers as we work on the pieces for the third or fourth week. But that you don't know that until you try. And, of course, there will be a lot of C.P.E. Bach adherents who will disagree with me.
300th anniversary, by the way, of the birth indeed of C.P.E. Bach.
Yes.
Second of the four composer's sons of Johann Sebastian. We're going to have to wait quite a while before we get to J.C. because I think he was born, 1735, so we may as well party now.
That's right. And C.P.E. is, in historical terms, certainly of the sons of Bach, the biggest figure. He may not be the most gifted. I really think the first son at the talent level, yeah, Friedman was the heavyweight. But C.P.E. was a very important composer in his day, probably a bigger public figure than his father ever was, and a very, very central link to another generation, which we know more about day to day, Mozart and Haydn and Beethoven.
So you have C.P.E. Bach pretty well represented in these upcoming programs of the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, which takes place out at Token Creek, Wisconsin, no surprise there, in the barn. And it's a very pleasantly intimate location for the kind of music that you've been producing. This is your 25th anniversary of this festival.
Yes, indeed. There we are.
But C.P.E. Bach will be well represented. But however, you're also, I think, if I remember correctly, going to provide music extensively from the two bookends too, which is, say, J.S. Bach and Haydn.
Yes, indeed, we're filling that out. I think we have a little C.P.E. to play.
We do. And what appeals to you, John, about the C.P.E.?
This piece particularly I like a lot. It's very playful, and it has a kind of a impish, unexpected quality, which I think it's fun to make its acquaintance. And you imagine a somewhat iconoclastic, by all accounts, rather difficult person behind it. You'll hear, you folks out there listening, it makes a good impression.
This is the middle movement of the piano trio in E minor by C.P.E. Bach. This performance is by Trio 1790. I give you just a little sample of the style of C.P.E. Bach. I wonder, Sebastian, the father, referred to some of the music of later composers we would respect today, as providing just ear-tickling melodies. Do you have a sense, John, of what he thought of C.P.E. Bach's music?
Well, we have some sense of what he thought, because occasionally Bach, the senior, wrote pieces, I think, quite directly in C.P.E. style, kind of to show that he handled it. And I think what he thought was that certain simplifications had gone on, mm-hmm. particularly with the bass line.
Right.
And also with the approachability of the melody, the apprehendability of the melody, we could hear a little bit of that in that example. There's an immediate attractiveness, which I think Bach was probably less likely to worry about day to day and hour to hour. So there were changes, and the changes are always going to happen as music evolves. And the younger generation, as my teacher said, is always right for a while. And so that was really the case in Bach J.S.'s time, that he was displaced in terms of his aesthetic by particularly that son, which is one of the reasons it's so interesting to hear it, and one of the reasons we put it on every concert.
Well, then there's this composer, Harbison, who's represented at the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, and there's certainly some great diversity of music, including some of these songs, America Loves to Sing, that you have taken on.
Yeah, this is a piece I wrote about 10 years ago. It's sort of been performed more recently, more often. It is based on tunes I thought everybody would hear and know. It doesn't turn out in every case to be true. We're going to play an example of the setting of We Shall Overcome, which is one of the ones that has surprised me by being so much less popular by now than it was when I...
Sure, in the 70s, everybody...
The 70s was its time, big time, and yes, and then steadily less and less. So I've noticed audiences don't necessarily pick up on this tune, which somewhat defeats my purpose in the way I presented it, because I did really depend on the tunes being recognized. But in this case, I said it in kind of early music style, because it's all about endurance and persistence and, you know, things continuing.
So do you think, should we identify it?
they'll remember. People from the 70s will recognize this as We Shall Overcome.
About it.
Well, yeah, those who were there in the civil rights movement will remember that tune, I think, pretty well. That's the Camerata Pacifica, a group that I've been working with for the past year or so, and I wrote a new piece for, and this is their CD, which is not yet out, but will be by the time that, really very close to the time that we are performing this piece.
I should mention that the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival for the 25th anniversary season, which is this August 23rd through 31st, and includes that celebration of C.V.E. Bach, has three programs?
Yes.
With varying music, going from American Spring to Many Happy Returns to the perennial avant-garde, which includes C.P.E. Bach.
Yes, he is part of that, certainly part of the perennial avant-garde.
Sure, in his day he would have been, wouldn't he?
Well, and he enlisted in it for the duration. I think that's definitely the way he's still perceived.
This is from one of your previous festivals, as a CD. And do you put out CDs every year? You have quite a few.
We have been putting out regularly jazz CDs, not a concert. We have quite a backlog that we're thinking of going back and looking through more carefully, particularly the Haydn Trio series.
This is some Stravinsky from a work that's probably not that well known, a sonata for two pianos from 1944.
We're very proud. I think we've presented it more than once. This is Judith Gordon and Robert Levin. Both are coming back to perform with us this summer, not together as they are here, but separately. This piece was premiered in Madison at Edgewood, and played by Nadia Boulanger,
who
was, of course, a great acolyte and proponent of Stravinsky.
Yes, indeed.
And as you say, this piece is not well known and sometimes taken a bit lightly. I think it's a marvelous piece, and we were very pleased to be able to present it at the festival.
The third movement, the final movement from it, Allegretto. Mm-hmm. Kind of French sounding, you know, I could take that for Poulenc or one of those other Stravinsky contemporaries.
It is a bit like that. I think one of his more playful and immediate pieces. It's also in the second movement, I think, quite a, there's a sort of submerged gravity to that, to the second movement. It's a piece that I'd love for people to know better, and we want to bring it back sometime soon.
All right, I'll look forward to that, because it's a charming piece. It's not the typical Stravinsky. Although, of course, much of the typical Stravinsky is quite charming, too, needless to say.
I could say just a moment about what Bob Levin and Judy Gordon will be doing. Judy is on a program where she plays Scarlatti and Chopin. We think a good combination of composers.
Yeah.
And Bob will be playing of course, Philipp Emanuel Bach. They're going to play together, he and Yafei Chuang, the Schubert Grand Duo. And he will perform with Rosemary Harbison, the Debussy Sonata. That's the avant-garde program.
And I think that's interesting how you define that term, but it's true, avant-garde in their time.
In their time, yeah. And I think now you're holding in your hands...
this is even newer.
A very new CD. It's so neat. It's not new. It's not out yet. From last summer's jazz performance. We're not doing jazz this summer. If we never do it again, I think we'll be pretty happy with that. That one as a final.
Oh, you mean with this?
Yeah, as a final. Our guests were vocal jazz ensemble from MIT, not the entire ensemble, half of it. And we're going to hear them doing a Harry Warren song, We're in the Money, which all you PBS... listeners will know, at least certain regional ones, as the background from the Money program on PBS, at least out in Albany at Tanglewood, where I've been living. We hear it every day.
It's familiar to a lot of people anyway, yep. A good Depression era song.
Indeed it is. And it's my arrangement, and you'll hear all of them taking little solos and give you an idea what they do.
The MIT Vocal Jazz Ensemble.
The money
we're in the money
we've got
all of what it takes to get along.
We're in the money
the skies are sunny.
Are sunny.
Old man, depression, you've done us wrong. We never see a headline,
bad
bread line today.
And when we see
the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye.
We're in the money.
Come on, my honey.
Let's spend it rolling along.
Day now.
down. Way down, ready da da down, day da da. Do by the daytime, to daytime, day day. To be day da day 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 day.
We never see a headline about a bread line today.
And when we see,
and when we see the landlord, yeah, we can look that guy right in the eye.
Dear,
we're in
the money, come,
come on,
my honey,
let's spend it, lend it, send it rolling.
And a good time was had. We're in the money, as arranged by my guest, John Harbison. And that's from a brand new CD. It will come out any day now, though.
Yes, it, yeah, and it will be for sale at the Token Creek Festival this year.
It's the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival Jazz at Token Creek 2013 CD. That was the MIT Vocal Jazz Ensemble. And, you know, it's bears repeating that you have this connection still with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
That's right.
It's a very distinguished position that's shared by, a Nobel laureate and several other quite highly placed Americans.
Yes, I don't know how they would feel about the interpretation of We're in the Money by the MIT Vocal Jazz. So we haven't asked all of them.
I think there's a tie there. Well, we have a couple more minutes before that quiz question comes along. You have one other thing here.
Yes, we will be, again, I think, keeping up our streak of always including the music of J.S. Bach. And as we mentioned earlier in our little talk today, he is very much at the fountainhead of this series of programs, as the father of our featured composer, which was what he was known for in the late part of his life. He was the father of CPE. He is now, of course, J.S. Bach, particularly of the great string solo pieces. And we will have one of those this summer. And so we're going to hear, as we go away, Rosemary Harbison performing, not here, but at Emmanuel Music Boston, the first movement of the D minor partita. Thank you.
That was Rosemary Harbison with the first movement of one of the Bach partitas. And Bach, that is Johann Sebastian, one of the composers featured in the upcoming Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, but quite generously, son Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, whose 300th birth anniversary we celebrate in this year of 2014. John Harbison, always good to see you.
Thank you.
It's a one-time-a-year thing, kind of like a comet passing through
it's
our
really
neighborhood.
Very much like that, yeah. I'd like to just mention that we have a commission for the 25th anniversary of the festival, Jeffrey Stanek, who first came to our festival when he was just a young kid. He's written a wonderful quintet for the same combination as the Songs America of mine. We will be doing it twice on each program in which it's listed, our first concert, and we're very glad that we were able to celebrate our anniversary with a new piece.
Well, something else to look forward to. It's always new. Even the old music is always new, isn't it? Something cutting edge about it.